Well, good evening, brothers, and welcome back to our first Friday with Friday in a few months. It's been great to see everybody tonight, and hope everybody had a great summer and is hitting the ground running back in this academic year. Please excuse the state of my voice tonight. Earlier today, I finally went and got a diagnosis, and I have both bronchitis and pneumonia. So, looking forward to messing with this for a solid week or two or five. So with that in mind, just wanted to remind everybody that's currently in the meeting, the two big things that you'll need to have open are the participants tab so that you can see who is actively in the meeting, as well as the chat. The chat will be primarily how we communicate during the actual presentation tonight. If you would like to rename yourself to display your chapter, your initiation year, positions that you hold, or committees that you serve on, as well as pronouns, please feel free to add whatever flair to your name you would like to. With all of that in mind, our presenter tonight is Brother Ryan Smith. Allow me to introduce Brother Ryan Smith. Ryan was initiated into Phi Mu Alpha on February 20th of 2016 in the Epsilon Alpha chapter at the University of Toledo. Throughout his university years, he pursued a degree in information systems within the College of Business. Displaying exceptional leadership, he held the positions of president and FEO within the chapter. His dedication to Sinfonia extended beyond the chapter as he took on the role of collegiate province representative for Province 2 in 2019. After graduating, Ryan's creative spirit was ignited with the inception of SinfoniCast, a podcast tailored for the Brotherhood. Through this platform, he engaged with a diverse array of guests, addressing a wide spectrum of topics relevant to the fraternity and its brothers. Currently based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Ryan continues to learn and grow as an IT systems administrator. The title of his talk is Stoking Fraternal Flames, Leveraging Substack and Discord for Powerful Alumni Engagement. Brothers, please join me in welcoming Brother Ryan Smith.
All right, thank you. Let's see, I'm going to try to share my screen here. It says host disabled participant screen sharing.
Just fixed it. Sorry about that.
No problem. Let's see here. Yep. All right. First of all, can you see my screen here? All right. So, yeah, thanks, Dave Friday, for that wonderful introduction. And thank you, ChatGPT, for writing it for me. As mentioned, my name is Ryan Smith, and I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller of Friday with Friday. The presentation I'm here to present is Stoking Fraternal Flames, Leveraging Substack and Discord for Powerful Alumni Engagement. Since I was initiated into Phi Mu Alpha, one of the major focuses has been on how brothers can communicate with other brothers. There has been times where I have felt the fraternity can improve in that department. That was something I really wanted to focus on. For example, when I was CPR, I took the role of being the messenger for all levels of the fraternity seriously. I also tried using podcasts as a medium to spread the word of Sinfonia and what others are doing in this fraternity. Today, I want to show you two tools that can genuinely change your relationship with alumni and collegiate brothers. Those tools are Substack and Discord. So, how are communications today in the fraternity? To start, there is no unified platform to easily share information. For years, Phi Mu Alpha has relied on Facebook groups and posts for both sharing information and allowing for discourse. In this modern climate, we are spread out more than ever on a million different types of software. Because of that, instead of being able to focus on a few areas for messaging, we have spread ourselves thin by managing multiple social media presences. Why do we have to do that? Well, it's because less people are using Facebook than ever before. When I was initiated back in 2016, almost every member of my class had a Facebook profile or at least a Facebook Messenger. You talk to any collegiate class today, and that is not the case. On top of that, even alumni have been ditching Facebook or at least not looking at it as often as they used to. Instead, many collegiate brothers have Discord, which is why I'm willing to bet most chapters at this point have a presence on there. Another major obstacle is that people don't want to use a new platform and create a new account. Understandably so, people don't want to learn something new just so they can keep up to date with their chapter, or their province, or the national fraternity. Finally, because there are a million ways to reach out to brothers, it all becomes noise. As mentioned earlier, if a chapter has to make content or share a message for a bunch of different platforms, they'll fall behind on it. And what started as information to share becomes shotgunned into a bunch of different directions, and it all becomes white noise. Here is my proposed solution to that I hope convinces you all by the end of this presentation. At a minimum, a chapter, province, or alumni association can use two tools to keep up with alumni and other brothers. Substack would be used for sharing information and updates. Discord is used solely for a platform of communication and building a community. Let's start with Substack, since I'm guessing this one is new to most of you. What is Substack? To simply put it, Substack is a newsletter creation platform that is free to use. Its original purpose was to empower independent writers to create regular content that goes into a subscriber's email with some powerful tools to help them do so. First question you may be asking is, nothing is free. How do they make money? They make money by giving writers the option to have paid tiers. People can choose to subscribe to support that writer. They take a percentage of that transaction if someone subscribes to one of those payment tiers. So the point is, there's no fee off the bat to use their platform. These newsletters or posts that are created in Substack are viewable on any device in a multitude of ways, including in email format or even a website. Let me show you what I mean with the website. I'm going to go ahead and put into the Zoom chat the link to our a website that Jack Schmidt and I created as an alumni newsletter for the Epsilon Alpha chapter. Jack, can you actually add it for me, please?
Yep, give me 1 second.
All right, thank you.
Sorry. I'm trying to get out of here.
I think I found it. Okay, there we go.
No, I was stuck on full screen. I apologize.
No problem. All right, so here is a link to our Substack. Go ahead and click on it. Go ahead and check it out. There we go. All right, so do you notice anything right away when you first go to the website? You don't have to enter your email address to look at the posts. It shows up a chance where you subscribe, but you can just simply say no thanks. And while entering your email address will let you know when a new post goes live, it's not a requirement, meaning that if an alumnus wants to, they can just go to your Substack website and look through the archive of what your chapter has done. This tackles that problem of people not wanting to create a new account. And even if they do subscribe with their email address, they don't have to make a Substack account to be able to get those subscriptions. And because of that, we tackled the major problem. They don't need to create a new account. And there is no learning curve from a reader's perspective. It's just another website. Because of this and many of the other suites and features Substack offers, it makes it the perfect place for an alumni newsletter or to share announcements within your level of the fraternity. Here's another big part in case if you still are on the fence about it. Let's say one day your chapter wanted to move away from Substack and go somewhere else to create newsletters. You don't have to start over. You can export and take your subscriber list with you, making the barriers to leave minimal. So how can Substack help with alumni communication? Substack is a great tool for alumni to stay informed at any level. If an alumnus just wants to keep tabs, they can subscribe to the newsletter and read semi-regularly when they get a new email in their inbox. If they are heavily involved in the chapter, they can even help write the newsletter so that way it's a newsletter from alumni for alumni. How I see Substack, it can help give direct information to brothers at all levels of the fraternity, including chapters, provinces, alumni associations, the different committees of the national fraternity, or even as independent work that can be tied in with a Symphonian themed podcast. No matter how you create a newsletter, just regular communication helps build a relationship with alumni, and alumni are more willing to donate if they are receiving something in return. Speaking of alumni donations, here are some ways you can use Substack to help fundraise. With Substack, you can handle payment processes in the platform. Let's say you're creating a Substack for a chapter and you wanted to create this newsletter to share information with alumni and give them opportunity to directly support the chapter. One way you can do so is by offering subscription tiers. There are a million ways to handle this. I'll start with the basics. You can treat it like an open source approach where the newsletter is free for everyone to read, but there is a button and option for people to support the newsletter publication and the chapter. Let's say for $5 a month. With this model, it's just brothers giving back to their alma mater's chapter. This is what my chapter is currently doing with their newsletter. Another option you can use is a hybrid approach where you offer a monthly paid tier, some regular schedule, and the subscriber gets additional content in return. Let's say you've been creating a monthly newsletter before offering this tier. The new tier could be the subscribers get weekly short articles or posts. The best part is any of these posts don't need a vast volume of content. All that matters is sticking to a consistent schedule. With Substack, it is possible to send a post out to everyone or just to paid subscribers. And you can even vary it up. You can have different options in the same post. It's pretty cool. A third option that's not on here is you can say the newsletters for paid subscribers only, but offer a special issue every once in a while so everyone can read and get a sneak peek on what the newsletter looks like. I'm not saying you have to follow any of these approaches, but Substack offers plenty of freedom to help fundraise for whatever level in the fraternity you are. I'm going to go ahead and show a demo of what the writer side of Substack looks like since you've now seen the reader side. I'm going to go ahead and open up the website, and we'll go ahead and check out the writer's dashboard. So I currently have the writer's dashboard open for Rocket Symphony and Encore. On the homepage, I see subscriber counts. I'm going to see if this has gone up a little bit. Yeah. So I see some analytics, some basic data on who's been reading what. We have the latest post. As you see, we got 11 views so far. No one's opened up their email yet. We just sent it less than an hour ago. But yeah, it gives you some analytics to help work with and see how you're doing. Let's go ahead and take a look at posts. As you see here, it's split into different sections, published, drafts, scheduled. And just to kind of break it down and show you like what you can do with the editor here. Here's like the basic example one they give you. You can create an email header and footer that shows up at the beginning of every email. And you can even vary it based on if the person is subscribed or not. Gives you a lot of cool tools. But as you can see, you can give writer credit. So for example, you can have multiple users that have access to this account. For example, with Jack and I, we both have access to Rocket Symphony and Encore. And you can even set permissions for it. So I can go ahead and give Jack writing credit just immediately on there. And there's a bunch of different things you can add here. You can change the style. You can add block quotes, things to help break up the wall of text here with images. You can add tweets like embeds, YouTube videos, audio as well. And as mentioned, different publishing options as well. If you just want to make a post and not send it as an email. But yeah, you got a huge wide variety of what you can use this platform for. You can even create your own buttons and have your own suggestions here, including giving gift subscriptions. I think that's pretty cool. Now that we've taken a look at the editor, let's go ahead and take a look at settings here. I'm just going to go over some of the basics, but as you see, there's a huge variety of what you can do. At the start, you can create an about page, which shows up on your Substack as like a website showing why should people subscribe to the newsletter. You also can create a welcome email, which if any of you subscribe to the Rocket Symphony and Encore, you would have received this email, which kind of tells you what to look for and gives you instructions on how to be able to properly see all the emails as they come through. Next thing I'll point out is the, where is it? the payments area. So, or actually, let's go to community first. So in community, you can actually add an option for people to add comments to a post, kind of similar to that. You get that Facebook feel then. So people can add comments. You can change what kind of order they show up in on the post. And this is a great way to be able to get feedback directly from your readership. Going back up to payments, you can set up subscriptions with this. And as you see, you can connect directly with Stripe. What that means is you can connect a bank account directly to Substack. So if any money comes into the Substack, it can go directly to a chapter bank account. There's no need for a middleman, no need for someone to get the money and then deposit it. It can just transfer immediately over once new money arrives. And you can set all these different kind of pledge amounts, all different kinds of features.
Ryan, we do have a question from the chat. Yep. Brother Hernandez asks, does this have an app to access the site?
Yes, Substack does have an app as well that you can use to be able to look at all the different Substacks that you are subscribed to.
One additional question from me. This is going to sound weird, but is it possible to create a Substack, as in a Substack that is within another Substack?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, that is possible. Let's see if it's in the sections. One of these sections has a way to be able to, you're able to do that. You're able to create like a separate Substack that is built into this. Let me just quickly scroll down here and see if I find it. Sections. Yeah, create more newsletters in your Substack that readers can subscribe to separately. Does that answer your question?
I was mostly asking for the purpose of, for example, if we created a province level Substack, could the chapters then embed theirs within here?
Yes, that would be possible.
Awesome.
Yep. Lastly, as I mentioned earlier, you're able to export all your data. So you can export your posts, your subscriber lists, all stats. All you have to do is just click the button, generate it, and you can then delete your Substack or whatever you want to do, or if you just want to use it for some deeper analytics. But overall, that's Substack. Are there any questions about Substack? Any additional ones? I haven't looked at the chat.
Chat's getting a little bit meme-y, but no other questions in here.
All right. Actually, go ahead.
I have a quick one. Mm-hmm. This looks a lot like WordPress.
It's probably similar. I have not personally used WordPress. I've heard people compare this to WordPress. I think the main difference is I believe WordPress does require a subscription in order to send newsletters. I could be wrong. This is completely free. They have a pretty big variety of writers on here, and it's very easy to discover new Substack newsletters. I don't think that really benefits us in our case. It's a bit more niche finding Brothers of Phi Mu Alpha, but I think that's one of the main features that it does offer.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go ahead and move on to Discord here. So before getting into the details, I just wanted to let you know my background with using Discord, just to show my experience with it. I have been building and moderating servers in Discord since 2016. I completed the Discord Moderator Academy course, a learning program designed by Discord for helping others to build a community. I am also a moderator of the r/Starlink server and the Cleveland Browns server, which both have over 5,000 members. I am also a founding member / Discord architect for the Twin Cities Cardboard Crew, which is a Discord server to connect board gamers in the Minnesota Twin Cities area and help organize meetups. That server specifically was started in February, and we have now grown to over 500 members. That last one, StatBot, is a bot that you can actually integrate into Discord, and it can give you some analytics like message counts in your server, your growth, voice channel minutes, and it's meant to be giving you information to help build a community. I am a tech support person on their server, so I'm very familiar both with that kind of bot as well as just how it interacts with Discord. What is Discord? I'm guessing most of you here are familiar with the platform, but I'm just going to break it down in case if you're not. Discord is a multi-layered messaging program. The multiple layers include having text channels, where you can imagine each text channel as like its own themed messenger group. Let's say, for example, instead of having one giant messaging group for everyone to join into, like a Facebook Messenger, where it could be a free-for-all on subjects for conversation, you can split them up into channels. Let's say we have one channel that is focused on talking about music, or another one that is focused exclusively on sharing memes. Discord also has voice channels that allow users to make audio/video calls. How it works is you click on the channel, you join the channel, and that is where you can hear and talk to anyone else that is also in the channel. It's kind of similar to how we joined the Zoom call, but what I like about it is it's a bit more impromptu. I can just be sitting in the voice channel because I'm free to talk and someone else can join me. Some of the basic, I'm just going to give a quick rundown of some of the benefits of using Discord. The first one being it allows for granular control. Let's say if I'm a moderator or admin for a Discord server, I can create roles for people to have, and you can think of it like a permission group, where I can give specific permissions to other users within that role to very detailed level, like, for example, seeing channels, sending messages, being able to manage the server, even just being able to send attachments or images. Another thing is people see what they want to see. With the different channels in a Discord server, a user can decide to ignore certain topics or themes of channels they're not interested in. Discord also allows people to be notified based on their interests. Let's say you created a role that can be assigned to brothers of a specific chapter. You can then mention that role like Epsilon and type your message to make sure the brothers at the University of Michigan get a notification on their phone or in the app. It's a great way to send certain types of announcements for people that need to see it. You can also use Discord to set up calls. For example, you can create a voice channel called Meeting and conduct unofficial business in the channel, similar to how we're talking here on Zoom. Lastly, there is a new feature available in Discord called onboarding that can ask users questions when they join a server so they can see what they want to see. I'll get to that later. Let's jump into how you may be using Discord wrong, and I'm going to give some proper workarounds or solutions. First one being, there are too many channels. It is very easy for users of a Discord server to ask for channels for something niche so the conversation can be sent there. I've seen this happen in servers of all different sizes. For people that have used Discord consistently and understand the workings of it, this is no problem. They're able to navigate easily. However, someone new to Discord, it is extremely confusing and overwhelming. Let's say a brother created a Discord account for the first time so they can talk to other brothers and they join the server. They may not understand how the interface works, but they first join and see a wall of channels. It is very confusing and is also more management for the moderators to make sure people talk in the proper channel. My suggestion to fix this is to keep it simple. You don't need a channel specifically to talk about Alfred Reed and his compositions. Less is more when it comes to channels. So instead, make a music channel for people to talk about all things related to music. This is the easiest design choice that can make a huge improvement to the experience for all. Second, I see in many servers that notifications is set to all messages. What that means is anytime someone sends a message in a server, Discord sends that as a notification to everyone that has the Discord app, everyone in that server. Or if they're on their computer, they'll hear a little bing sound from the new message. That gets annoying very quickly, especially if there is a deep conversation going on, so there's now a ton of notifications. Instead, make sure your Discord server has notification default set to mentions only. Then make sure members have roles for things they would want to receive a notification for. For example, let's say you created a role for event announcements so that people who want to be notified about some unofficial gathering that's about to happen, they'll get a ping for it. All you have to do is just mention that role and send your message. They get a ping. On the same strain, you can create a text channel just for announcements and mention the role its audience is for there. And I'll show you some examples later on. Another flaw I see consistently is there's no way to easily define who leadership is. Let's say it's a province server and a guest comes in wanting to get into contact with the province governor. As you see here, could you identify who the province governor is? Besides, obviously, it's Dave Friday because
it's me.
It's Dave Friday. It's not really that easy to be able to tell. That's why an easy solution to this is to create a role called province governor. Make sure it is displayed separately from other members and put that role near the top of that roster. So that way, when someone joins, they will be able to find the province governor in the in that roster there very easily. And maybe they can even ping the role. Lastly, here's a question you should be asking with Discord. What does a brother gain from being in your Discord server? One thing I'll say is it is very easy to try to use Discord to share information or to make resources that are supposed to be saved over time. Discord isn't really the best for that. It is best to sticking at what it does best: chats, communication, and discourse. An easy way to get people to join and stay involved outside of that, for example, is by giving something they would not get elsewhere. That can be as simple as giving a great place to just talk with other brothers. Alumni can easily chat with each other or with other collegiate brothers. This is where discussion on what projects the chapter is working on takes place. So, like, literally as the chapter's trying, that's how they communicate, all like saying, hey, I'm at my CPA, our music building here. Is anyone else in the area? That kind of thing. I agree. For higher up levels of the fraternity, maybe having meetups in the voice channels for either like a gaming night or some sort of chat that can be organized. Even on the national fraternity level, maybe an NEC member jumps into voice chat and does like a little, you know, just kind of a fireside chat thing that's virtual. Just always be asking what benefit there is for brothers to join this Discord server. You may be thinking that this sounds like a lot to tailor a Discord server to, something anyone can use. And I agree, it can be a lot and takes a ton of trial and error. I can help you get started, however. Discord has a tool called Server Templates. So with this link here, you can create a server that is laid out exactly how I tailored it, with channels, names, and many of the settings and roles and permissions. I've created two templates here, one for chapters or smaller groups, and one for provinces/alumni associations that's meant for bigger groups. Let's go ahead and take a look at these, and I can give an overview and break down some other cool stuff with Discord. I will also post these. I'll post these links into the chat after this presentation. All right, let's start with the chapter one here. So one thing you'll notice right away is that I tried to simplify the channels down as much as possible to what people would be talking about. For example, there's a category for general, just talking about anything with anybody really, including a channel just for alumni to chat. So you can know you're talking to alumni. There's even a pictures area if people of the chapter want to post pictures that they take of their brothers and doing brotherly things. Outside of that, this is where chapter discussion can happen, where just making communications with the chapter over Discord in these kinds of channels is an easy way to do it. You can even break it down by the committees like I show here, and you can break it, just try to keep it focused. Try to keep it simple with the themes. Created some voice channels as examples, but even an executive area, which I'll explain in just a minute here. So actually going into the server settings, here are some of the different roles. So once again, you're able to identify the chapter president easily. I also created the mod role separately. This one has permissions for everything. It can do everything. So that way, any brother that you select or anyone that volunteers can be a moderator slash admin for the Discord server. It doesn't have to be the chapter president or someone in your executive committee, for example. I also created roles for collegiate members, probationary members, alumnus, other chapters, guests, and some other basic pronouns. To specifically show that, that is one feature I was talking about earlier. When people join the server, you can set up onboarding, which gives a series of questions when somebody joins a server. For example, here, this is the preview of what it looks like when I join this unofficial server here. To start, what are your pronouns? So I'll go with he, him. Am I a brother of Phi Mu Alpha? Yep, I am a brother. And as you see here, I get the brother role, so people could ping that. If I am a brother, which best defines me? I am an alumnus member of this chapter. Here, like, I just created some default rules for the server, but it can be anything you want. Try to keep it to rules of the Discord server. Another rule that I didn't add here is probably adding, don't talk about secrets of the fraternity, but either way, here it is. No direct discussion or revealing of the secrets related to Phi Mu Alpha. Point is, you can customize these. So, yep. All right. I finished. And as you see here, these are all the channels I got to see. I want to keep, especially for like the chapter level, keep it as simple as possible. Also, feel free to interrupt me if you have any questions while I'm navigating through this. Speaking of which, are there any?
I am interrupting. On behalf of Brother Hoffman, can Discord do like a digest notification email once a week?
Not that I'm aware of. That's why I make the argument. It is not a good place to share updates on the chapter or share information, like what future events or like, for example, if you've got a ritual planned, you could probably talk about it in the Discord, like maybe make an announcement there, but I wouldn't use it as your primary source for sharing information for that reason. There's no summary like that, unfortunately.
All right. We have another question from Brother Phillips. He says, I like the onboarding, but how about verification?
And I will get to that. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, this is the chapter setup here. We're going to go ahead and go to the province slash alumni association level. So as you see here, there's a lot more channels. The reason why is the idea is there's going to be a lot more people from all different backgrounds, different locations. So created once again, announcement channel to be able to share stuff in certain kind of information, not as a primary source. So introductions I also included just so, hey, people can introduce who they are, what chapter they're from, maybe what position, that kind of thing. And even suggestions so that people can give feedback on how to make the server better. Specifically, I created a Symphonian themed area, as well as some off topic channels. And once again, some executive functions, which I didn't talk about before. But in this case, because I'm building this off of province, anyone in the province council or a mod has access to these channels. The regular user does not. Now, going into one of the questions that was asked was, as you mentioned, what about verification? I tried to find a way to be able to use the features where you can verify members before they join the server or even after they join. There are some ways to do that. The problem is it kind of breaks a lot of what Discord can do. It's meant for a bit more of a public space, especially with some of the features. There are some downsides to them. One way I got around that is, and this also helps with the issue of alumni or anyone that's not familiar with Discord joining and not having to read a million instructions on how to figure out how to get themselves verified if they don't want to. There's a very simple way where when someone joins, as I'll show you in the onboarding process here, I created a question to start off by asking, are you a brother? Which I know is not official verification. Stay with me. But all right. So see, are you a Symphonian is the question. I am a brother. Well, hopefully people get that that's not the official answer to the question. So I'm going to go ahead and mark myself as a brother. Someone marks himself as a guest. That's an easy way for you to kick them from a server like this because it's focused on Phi Mu Alpha. So let's go ahead and go with I'm a brother. I'm an alumni member. And I also included what if you're from this province, what chapter are you from? I just added two by default here, and there, I got the Epsilon Alpha chapter role. Here's the other cool part about onboarding is you can set what additional topics you would like to see. And in this case, these are those off-topic channels. So if you just want to come into Discord just to talk about Find Me Alpha stuff, keep the channels limited, you can do that. If you want to also include art and music to there, or gaming, or tech support, or any other topic that you can imagine, anything with a dedicated channel, how it looks is when I do art and music, you'll be added to music composition and art and music. Or gaming, I'll get added to gaming. Or I can choose all above. I'll get the whole category, all the channels in it. Once again, we go over the rules. Do not reveal the secrets of Find Me Alpha in conversation or images. Discuss in person, not online. But here's the other cool part, this server guide. It is a one-stop shop that gives anyone that joins the server some tools and resources to help get them started. So for example, I have a checklist here of things that I can do around the server. That includes chatting with other brothers in Find Me Alpha. Once I send a message in there, this part up here will be checked off. Or share a little bit about myself and introductions. Here's the part where we get into verification. And this tool over here allows you to provide resources for things like this that are easy to see. Once again, one-stop shop server guide. So as you see here, let's say I want to be verified as a brother. And I also want to make sure that I'm talking to a brother. One thing you can do is set up a mod mail bot in the server. And as you saw on the roster page, it's at the very top. Very easy to see. So I can send a message to the mod mail bot answering some basic questions. What's my full name? What chapter I was initiated at? And the answer. Once I send that message, a mod is able to look at a category called mod mail, and they'll get a ping that a message appeared. So we can have someone manually verify that someone is a brother. So while this isn't really a, you could theoretically every once in a while kick people with just the brother role if you want to. It's not the best way to be able to share secrets, unfortunately, but you really shouldn't be online anyway. But if you want to feel confident that you're talking to a brother that's been verified by the moderators of the server, once they answer these questions, a mod will give a user the verified brother role. Their name will show up in red. It'll be very easy to tell. And yeah, that's my way around it. So that way, if someone that is not familiar with Discord, they don't need to be verified, but they'll be rewarded if they are so. I like positive reinforcement. That is what Discord really builds a lot of its architecture on. With that said, I think I've shown everything when it comes to Discord. Are there any further questions just about my templates or basic overview?
Nothing currently from the chat. If anybody wants to unmute and ask a question, now is the time to do so.
I think I know the answer to this, and it's similar to the subset question we had earlier, but is there a way for Discord server to host Discord server? So say, for example, you have Find Me Alpha Symphonia Fraternity, the Discord server, but then within it, it hosts province servers. I don't think that's a thing, because otherwise you're basically looking at a website, but
I can give you an example, because you are correct. That's not really possible, but there is an easy way to do so, where you can put links for other Discord servers for people to be able to join. Let me see here. Where's my Cleveland Browns one? There we go. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in Cleveland Browns, there is a... I thought there was a channel in here. Nope. All right. We're going to go with the NFL moderator. So, here's an example of all the different servers that are all related to NFL teams that are in here, and you're able to join them. That'd be really the easiest way. Another way you could do it is using this onboarding feature. You can ask a question on what province you're in. I think there is a limited amount of answers, though, but you could create like a category for a province in a giant Discord server, and then have channels related to them, and they can talk in there. Discord servers aren't supposed to get that massive. It's supposed to stay kind of small and relatively.
Yeah, because otherwise, like you said, it's pretty much you're doing microscopic role creations and things like that. And
it gets very confusing.
You may as well just build a website at that point.
Yeah.
But cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just to summarize here, in conclusion, I hope you can come away with at least understanding some of my ideas on how we can use these two platforms to better engage with the Brotherhood. Most importantly, I hope you can agree with these 3 points. Substack is a great tool for sharing information with all brothers. Discord is a great messaging platform, and it's great for discourse. And these platforms can be friendly to new users. If you do need any assistance with setting any of these up at any level, I am more than happy to assist in whatever capacity needed. This fraternity really does need some great ways to be able to communicate, especially now more than ever. And I hope these tools can help kindle that flame. Are there any final questions?
I just posted one in there to chat. Are you able to share your templates so that we can copy them?
Yep. I will put the links to that. Once this is done, I'll put them in the chat.
Cool beans. Yeah.
I would say not necessarily a question, maybe a statement. So I could probably wait until afterwards, unless someone has a question first.
Go ahead. Shoot it.
Cool. So I know I mentioned doing some committee stuff and all that. I've heard it mentioned that my Symphonia 2.0 is kind of being worked on. I don't know what that looks like, how it looks like, but I'm kind of hoping that if we know anyone that happens to be working on that, we could put feedback to maybe implementing things like these into that. That would be nifty. To where we kind of have that one-stop shop for everything.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that would be very cool.
Cade.
I also have more of a statement than a question. Okay. I'm always, and I'm interested in seeing if you have a solution to this problem outside of just like really hoping the brothers just stay on top of it. I'm always really concerned at digital platforms as the primary method of communication for a chapter in losing the historical details of what went on in the chapter. So for example, my chapter used Slack for a long time, which is, if you haven't used Slack before, it's comparable to Discord in a lot of ways. And we made sure to have in our bylaws that minutes had to be shared on Slack, but also printed out and put in the filing cabinet. And I'm always just really concerned that brothers will get a little sloppy with this, a little lazy with this, and just post things on Discord, and then like it'd be lost forever eventually. Do you have any good solutions for that? I know that Substack is a little bit better with archiving because you just get an email. And then the email you can print off or whatever. But Dave, did you have something?
Yeah. So I have been on a whole bunch of official visits at this point. And the number one solution to the problem that you have just described is don't treat the role of the historian as the throwaway officer role within your chapter. Somebody who's in that role can't just be, well, we really wanted him to be an officer, but he didn't make e-board, so we wanted to give him something. You got to find somebody who actually gives a crap about that role, because they will make sure that the role gets done correctly in the form of receiving weekly minutes from the secretary, making sure that the secretary is signing them and actually archiving them for that purpose. No, see, that's a bad nick. Bad nick.
That is why I make the argument Discord or Slack is not the greatest platform for, as you mentioned, storing your minutes. It's both, either of those, because of how decentralized they are, they can be very easy to lose. Like the server just dies away over time. But also just, I've tried using it to try to find information. It is really hard. Like the search function is okay. It could be better, but Even if you have a channel dedicated to minutes, it's just not the best way to look around. Substack could be a place where you post your minutes. You can add attachments like that. And it probably doesn't hurt to have that as a newsletter, so that way alumni could keep up with what's going on. But either way, just like anything, when it comes to backups, you shouldn't just rely on one solution. You should have at least two different locations or platforms in this case to be able to save something like minutes. Those are pretty important.
Dave, remind me at some point that I want to do a presentation on proper historical archiving of chapter stuff.
Do you want December?
Sure. Hit me
up.
It's
yours.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to what I had to say. I hope you got something out of it.
Yes, quick round of applause for Brother Smith. What a fantastic presentation. I feel like you gave us a really great overview and at least got us intrigued to the point where we want to go start checking out some of these things on our own. It looks like if we wanted to use Discord, maybe we'd need a little more handholding from you. But Substack looks like it's incredibly user-friendly and that brothers could easily just jump straight into it.
I agree. I'm available also if you do need assistance in that regard.
All right. Excellent. Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, I don't know, because I think that a few of us here use Discord as well. So I don't know if it would serve others to like share our servers if you're cool with it, to kind of like show like a kind of examples of what we're doing, what's been working and things like that for us, and maybe get some feedback, things like that immediately. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure how we're doing for time.
Oh, like right now?
Yeah. It's up to y'all, but I mean, like, I have my stuff pulled up. I can kind of like show what we do, but that's up to y'all.
Well, I guess technically I'm in charge here, so yeah, let's do it.
Keep recording?
Sure.
Okay. Easy peasy.
All right. So I will share my screen then. And just let me know, give me a thumbs up if you can see my stuff. Cool. So this is what we're using for Province 13. We also have the Mueta server on its own over here as well. Sorry if you hear a dog barking in the background. But everyone, whenever they pop in here, they're immediately thrown to the verification page, which they will answer the questions. Kind of like what we're doing with the onboarding. Like, we don't use the onboarding tool here just because some folks have messaged me directly saying that it's kind of like a bit of a pain to use because it's like, I don't know. So we kind of got away from it, just went straight to manual, like, hey, answer the questions. And then we verify it, delete the message to where that way, because we don't get a lot of foot traffic in there. So we usually don't have to worry about it. For us particularly, we also ask if they're particularly like a chapter president, vice president, ARO, or CPR, ACPR, or if they're from outside the province, because that way, if we have alumni who move to our area, we can assign them like kind of like their geographic roles. So kind of like with Central, Western, and Southern Florida, because with our province, it's kind of like the bottom half of the state downwards. And we kind of have like three clusters in our province that kind of make Province 13. So that way they can get a Central, Western, or Southern role to where they're in the areas that make sense for them to get notifications for, other than just general information. Beyond that, we have our information tab that has general announcements, rules, and resources. Province Council, similar to the executive stuff, we have a chat as well as a leadership voice channel. Nice and simple. All province, we have, our general chat, threads for recently had the hurricane update one because Florida, we have a hurricane. So checking up on chapters as they were dealing with those. Kind of like what we mentioned earlier, suggestions for that. Our debug as well. That's where we see people entering the server, things like that. This is an interesting one, like looking for. So this is kind of like if we're looking for specific roles for things, if we're looking for housing, things like that, it kind of makes life a little easier for brothers who are kind of in need for various things. Opportunities to where if someone happens to share something that everyone can benefit from, then it's there. Sinfonia Streamers, because we do have some brothers who stream and do things professionally that way to get promote their stuff and help them get more things going on. But this is also kind of where we host things like Swolephonia for folks who are doing things like losing weight or gaming, doing fun things like that. And then just general voice channel. Other than that, we have our dedicated alumni section. And then, like I mentioned before, we have our Central Florida, where they have their own general invoice, and then Western and Southern have the same thing. And then this is all based on roles to where, let me pull that up. Where we have our PG, DPG, PAC, CPR, ACPR, ACPR2. We have a COS member in our province, so we're like, hey, they're here, so why not give them a role? We have our alumni association presidents, our faculty advisors, if there are any that are in the server, chapter presidents, vice presidents, AROs. We have a couple of bots that are in the server as well to handle various things, designations for honoraries, alumni, and collegiate, then as well as the chapter members for our province that are active and or were active in the cases I knew. They're technically inactive, but we still have a presence for them, so making sure they're there. Like I said before, the Central, Western, Southern roles as well, to where folks can see those, as well as the Oshinbot, which is kind of our admin role, to where if anything has to happen, Oshin takes care of it. And then StreamCord and Message Schedule are both other bots that we use as well, to where, because, for example, I work overnights, to where if I send out a message for reminders for alumni, it's going to be at like 3 a.m, so I don't want to wake everybody up. Then I could just use the message schedule bot to send things out, not in the middle of the night, and then not get people mad at me. But that is our server, and I'm going to move that over here. Suggested edit, preferred name, full name, what are your pronouns? Yeah.
You have used the phrase preferred pronouns, and from what I understand, that's rather insensitive to ask what is preferred. You just say, what are your pronouns?
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to do that
right way. If somebody says that they prefer they, them, and you decide, well, I'm not going to respect your preferences. Oh, caps lock.
Yep. Boop. There you go.
Also, awesome. I appreciate you being receptive to my edit.
Yeah, 100%. No, I appreciate it. I mean, I didn't recognize that, and that's a great reason why I was asking the question to show this stuff. Cool. Anything else?
Your server looks awesome. It looks very well structured and very well regulated. So nice job with it.
Thanks. Yeah. And the thing is too, is that what I've noticed, because I helped Province 32 like kind of show them how they could make one. I think it really depends on how the province is laid out, because like, if you have a province like 13 where it's very clustered, then it makes sense to have like these last three sections here, because otherwise you could just get away with doing a general section, right? But that way, like, for example, like there's like a 2 or 3 hour difference between Central and Western Florida, or a 3 to 4 hour difference between Central to Southern. So it's kind of like, if we're talking geographically, it makes a little bit more sense to kind of keep those areas together that way. That way, if there's something particular for that area, they can kind of hit each other up easier that way. Anything? Oh, and then also, I forgot to mention, we do have an events banner up here at the top as well. So it's kind of like, if we have stuff like we have kickoff or pinning or alumni association events or co-nights. And then the only other difference I would say is between the one that we saw is we don't have spots for probation members in this one, because this is meant for specifically brothers that have gone through the initiation.
Yeah, this definitely looks cool. I definitely agree. It looks like you know a lot about Discord and built a really well-organized server. I guess the templates that I created, the point in them was to make it as easy as possible for people not familiar with Discord to help set up, but also if someone's joining that's never used Discord before, it can get a little daunting, especially the amount of categories or channels. But Yeah, this actually is a very clean way to do it, though.
Well, thank you. No, I'll stop sharing.
Very cool. Was there anybody else interested in sharing what they have set up on Discord? Is everybody anxious to get out there and start setting up their own Discord servers?
Maybe look at it and maybe do a little bit of cleanup.
Sure.
My biggest thing is, how are we engaging more seasoned brothers? I understand that collegiate members have these sites and access to them, but brothers who, you know, are not hip to being with the times, how are we going to be able to engage them, you know, and get buy-in from them, especially as we're continuing to look for ways to engage with alumni who may not currently be connected to the fraternity?
That's why I make the argument that with Substack, that's the easiest way to do it. You just, it's like navigating a website from their perspective. If they want to give their email to get, you know, an email when a new post goes live, they can. They don't have to. That's the best way to be able to share updates with what's going on, as well as be able to share information. And if they want that Facebook feel, it does feel a bit like that.
I see that we have a couple of hands raised. Brother Harry?
So email list is really important for brothers who grew up with email or who have transitioned to that. There is also nothing wrong with a physical newsletter sent to a good mailing address. Like, ultimately, some people you got to just mail the thing to. And your historian and alumni relations officer should be doing their absolute level best to make sure that your chapter records are as up to date as possible, because you cannot rely on Lyrecrest because they don't get updates either. So, like, sometimes you just got to mail a thing.
One comment on that. at the 2018 National Convention, it was revealed to us that one of the reasons that we had stopped doing our Symphonian communications, the actual physical copy of the Symphonian, is because only about 25% of the mailing addresses that Lyrecrest has on file were accurate. And so we were sending out all of those copies of the Symphonian and getting about 75% of them returned. It should be a collaborative effort. The FEO should be making sure that the contact information for our probationary members when they join is accurate. The alumni relations officer should be making sure that as brothers are graduating, that wherever they wind up, we have an accurate email address, mailing address, whatever it happens to be. The primary responsibility needs to be on the individual brother. If they feel as though they are out of the loop, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's because nobody knows how to contact them. Brother Phillips.
Yeah, I was going to say just the other in regards to getting more seasoned brothers involved with things like this, is this is just always an option as far as becoming, but just being involved with it. Like, they don't have to partake in this. Like, this is just an option. Because I always use absolutely they do. I mean, I'd love for it. I always, and whenever I do my email updates for the CFAA, I always have a link for communications. So I'll have the link to the server here. The one Facebook group, like kind of a legacy Facebook group that we have, to keep him involved with that. I ask him if they have updates and emails, things like that, to where we can contact them. Always try to update them. But this is basically, it's an option to keep them involved, because we can't force them to use it. So it's very much like this is another way to reach out and be involved if you want to. Or at least that's the approach that I take with our server.
Brother Herrig.
I don't think there are that many active brothers, if any, currently bopping around in here. But I do notice that Brother Hernandez is on the Alumni Affairs Committee. Is that what that is going on there? The AAC? Getting good training in just standard nonprofit mailing list procedures to alumni affairs officers and province alumni coordinators would go a great way of helping out with this stuff. There are a lot of tried and true methods of keeping people's mailing addresses up to date that we just don't have training on in our chapters and our provinces.
I believe one of the subcommittees is focusing on specifically training PACs and AROs on that very thing. So hopefully something will come out of that this semester.
Would you guys like some updates since I am the chair of that subcommittee?
Hell yeah.
Always.
Fantastic. Well, actually, at this point, if I could request, since we're starting to get into this part of the night, could we go ahead and stop recording?
Okay, good. Now Big Brother Ashen can't hear us.
Not yet.
It's still recording.
I had to unmute myself. Recording has stopped as of